think you know the story of Abraham? Our weekly comprehensive Bible study, The Journey from Abram to Abraham, begins now.
Right now. Begins right now. All right, welcome everybody. This is LesChristian.net, and we are having a good time. We're talking about Genesis. I know we were into the Tower of Babel, so we got off to a little bit of a tangent before. This week, we are heading into Abraham. I'm sure you heard of Abraham, right, JD?
Oh, I absolutely have, David. I mean, he's the man. I'll put it that way.
I know that guy.
I'm looking forward to this, though, because, you know, not everybody understands that Abraham was not his original name. His original name was Abram. So, you know, there's number one thing for you right off the top. But I know we're going to go a lot deeper than that for sure.
Yeah. And there's more to the story, too. Mm-hmm. We could have easily titled this Seven Secrets about Abraham.
Right. Didn't know.
Mm-hmm. All right, like number one, where did he came from? Mm-hmm. You know, all this cool stuff. Yeah. We're gonna learn some really cool things, like he lived with Noah for a while.
Yeah.
That's kind of weird.
Yeah,
and then also, but I think the whole idea is this: the blessings are all tied up in Abraham. Mm-hmm. So I want to be able to bring that out and explain that he was like a type of Christ, if you would, and that the patterns. You know, will show forth, and then the blessings of Abraham that come later, but also how just because we have the blessings of Abraham doesn't mean we're Jews,
right? Yeah, and the church is not a replacement for them either.
Right. So, could you pray us into the show that we can have divine wisdom?
Sure. Like Father, we come to you and we ask, please, that you give us the words to say today, which will help someone to have a desire to even learn more, to dig deeper, to pick up the Bible, to read it, and most importantly, to understand it and accept Jesus Christ as their Lord and Savior. That's the whole mission of this show. And we put it in your hands, Father. We know we can lead, but only Jesus Christ can save. And so we're going to do our very best and give the Holy Spirit that opportunity to tap somebody on the shoulder and bring them home. We ask this in the name of Jesus Christ. Amen.
Amen. Amen. I might as well share like the end from the beginning.
Okay.
You know, so in Genesis 12, he talks about God's promise that you'll bless Abraham, then you'll be blessed. If you curse him, you'll be cursed. And we typically will attribute that to Israel because his offspring. Mm-hmm. So we're going to look at that. And then there's justification by faith. Now, Abraham believed God, so it was counted to him for righteousness. And then we see in your seed, all the earth shall be blessed. And we certainly see that. Mm-hmm. I think from the tiny little nation of Israel and the nationality of the Jews, they have most of the Nobel Peace Prize winners.
Wow.
And
I didn't know
inventions
that.
And everything.
Okay.
Yeah.
Yeah, I didn't know that one. Okay.
Mm-hmm. It is. So there's, and then we are heirs of the promise as well.
Mm-hmm.
So I want to talk about how there's actually different offshoots, if you would. And and Jesus talked about this with the vine and the branches and the olive branches, you know, and one's natural and one's a wild cultivated versus a wild olive branches. So that ties right in with Abraham having, you know, two sets of seeds is a blessing in the spirit.
Right.
He's going to inherit the world, and there's the citizenship. Now, Abram was waiting for it. The kingdom or the city that has no foundations, we see in Hebrews. And he's a partner in God's mission. So there's a lot of stuff going on with Abraham.
You got that right. I mean, I'm just looking through here and just beginning to scan it. You know, like I said, David's notes were 14 pages. So I haven't had time to go through all of this stuff yet. But I have picked out some stuff that I'm ready for when we get there. And I'm just going to hit it when we get there. Go ahead.
Yeah. Yeah, we do a lot of pages just so we don't run out of stuff to talk
exactly, about. Exactly, yeah. We'd rather have too much than too little. There you go.
Right. So, like, right now, we're going to talk about these Prima bars.
Okay. All right. Well, why don't you go ahead
and... delicious coffee. So,
yeah.
Well, why don't you go ahead and tell them about all that while I take a bite of my Prima bar.
Yeah, I'd be happy to. Here at The Last Christian, we do rely 100% on your support to continue broadcasting the gospel message across the globe. Now, whether it's a one-time gift or a monthly offering, every donation, large or small, makes a real difference, and it's all fully tax deductible. Now, you can support us by also shopping with our trusted affiliates at lastchristian.net, because when you buy, they give and we grow. Now, David's already mentioned it, but Everyday Dose Coffee, that's a way to start your day strong with a delicious mushroom-based coffee alternative that fuels your mind and body without the crash. There's also the Conservative Store, where you wear your values with pride and stock up on patriotic gear, gifts, and apparel that stand for truth and freedom. And then what David is eating right now are Prima Ancestral Protein Bars. Are clean, natural, no-nonsense nutrition made from time-tested ingredients that your body will thank you for. And last but not least, Christian Book. From Bibles to devotionals to homeschool resources, they got everything you need to grow in faith and share it boldly. Visit lastchristian.net today and shop or donate with a purpose, because together we are reaching the world for Christ, one message at a time.
There we go. Problem solved. Okay, so let's start this whole show with some key facts about Abraham. Okay. Now, obviously, he was first named Abram,
mm-hmm.
and then we see Abram means exalted father. We see him in Genesis 11:26,
mm-hmm.
and it says, Terah lived 70 years and begat Abram, Nahor, and Haran. So we see his brothers here.
Mm-hmm.
You know, you ever wonder what happened, like, why he inherited Lot?
Well, I don't think I ever really gave it much thought. You know, I just kind of, how do you say when you just kind of, you're just going along and, okay,
yeah, you're just
that
winging.
Happened. Yeah. Yeah. I didn't really focus on it, which I'm getting to the point now, David, in my walk with Christ, that I'm beginning to ask those kind of questions.
Mm-hmm.
But, you know, for many, many years, and, you just kind of accept it and you move on. It's like, okay, that happened, fine.
Yeah.
And that's kind of what I went through. And I'm now getting to the point where I'm really beginning to dig deep. But I hadn't dug on that one yet.
Yeah, there's some weird stuff. It's like, it was Abram, Nahor, and Haran. Mm-hmm. And then Haran begat Lot. Now, he mentioned it. But then he doesn't really tell you what the whole deal is. Why did you tell me that Haran begat Lot?
Right.
You know, so there's obviously more to the story.
Mm-hmm.
But as we, have been studying for, we're going on 2 years now.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
And then, we learned that this is all like cliff notes, essentially. Mm-hmm. So these are the essential notes that God wants us to have. These are essential for salvation.
Right.
The Bible and the contract, but there is further information you can find elsewhere.
Mm-hmm.
All right. So it's not that the further information might necessarily be required canon, let's say, mm-hmm. but it certainly answers a lot of these questions.
Right.
So my question is, well, what happened to Haran? Why was he hanging out with Abram?
Okay. Well, tell me.
He marries his sister. Like, what's up with that? You
had a limited inventory.
It was a lot of people back then. They built the Tower of Babel and split it up into 70 nations.
I don't know. I mean, it was just, I'm not going to say the rules were different, but the rules were different.
Yeah, they were.
Mm-hmm.
And this was obviously many years, like 400 years and change before the law came down.
Right.
And the DNA was much stronger as we, because of sin, the DNA got worse and worse and worse.
And still is.
Because obviously Adam and Eve's kids, they had to marry their sisters because there just wasn't anyone else.
Right, yeah, yeah.
But why at this point, and you can surmise that they're just a couple generations from the flood.
Mm-hmm.
So it was all about Noah, and it wasn't really that much diversification until later.
Right.
And
butting in right away, the people that were around them then weren't really on their level, for lack of a better term. In other words,
right.
you had people that worked for them, or I hate to say it, maybe owned by them, you know, and so they weren't going to pick one of them as their wife. I'm throwing a lot of supposition out there. You tell me if I'm on the right path or if I'm going down the wrong
path. There's a lot of that.
Okay.
Because now Tara, we'll get into that in a minute, but Tara was an idol maker.
Okay.
And, you know, so
not good.
Do we really see that in the Bible?
Mm.
Tara begat Abram, Nahor, and Haran. And in verse 31, 11, 31, it says, Tara took Abram, his son, and Lot, the son of Haran, his son's son, and Sarai, his daughter, and his son Abram's wife. Mm-hmm. And they went forth with them from the Ur of the Chaldees to go into the land of Canaan. And they came unto Haran and dwelt there. Mm-hmm. The days of Tara were 205. So Tara lived 205 years.
Mm-hmm. Okay.
And then he died in Haran. And that's kind of all we get.
Yeah, and I'm noticing that the lifespan is beginning to drop at this point. You know, and from
right.
from the way up 900s, now we're down under 200 years, and the
right.
drop.
It was
continued.
400 for a couple generations.
Mm-hmm.
And then Peleg, the land divided again. So obviously something happened there, which caused the environment to be not so conducive to longer life.
Right.
Now we're at 200.
Right.
All right. So we have this, and that's kind of all of the story we got. Okay. Mm-hmm. He married his half-sister. Tara lived 205 years. They went with Lot. Well, how did they get there? What's his story, you know?
Mm-hmm.
In chapter 12, he starts out with, now the Lord said unto Abram, get thee out of thy country and from thy kindred and from thy father's house unto a land I will show thee.
Mm-hmm.
And I will make of thee a great nation. And I will bless thee and make thy name great. And thou shalt be a blessing. And I will bless them that bless thee and curse them that curse thee. And in thee shall all families of the earth be blessed.
Right.
So Abram departed as the Lord had spoken unto him, and Lot went with him. So this talks about, I will make of thee a great nation.
Mm-hmm.
So there are those who are... anti-Semites and replacement theologists.
Right.
And they mistakenly say, oh, no, this was only for Abraham. Oh, whoever blesses Abraham. But clearly the entire context says, I will make of thee a great nation.
Right. Yeah, that's
and what I will bless thee and make thy name great, and I will bless them that bless thee. So you are a great nation. So it literally ties it together. It's all in the same sentence.
Right.
Where it's the nation that will come out of Abraham. If you bless them, then you'll be blessed. If you curse them, they'll be cursed. And there's a reason for it.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. Oh, well, go ahead and say that, David. But right now, looking at the world, we're seeing a lot of countries that are beginning to curse Israel. And, you know, that's another indicator to me that we're closing down on the last little breath that the world's got.
Mm-hmm. And therein lies prophecy.
Mm-hmm.
So you can pull out so much from every little verse here.
Mm-hmm.
Therein lies a prophecy. What happens if you curse the nation of Israel?
You get cursed.
Okay. Mm-hmm. So what is a necessity if the great tribulation is going to come?
Well, there's got to be the great falling away is the first thing that jumps in my mind.
Well, that's a departure. That's a whole nother topic. But
okay.
Anyway.
Everybody against Israel is another.
They would have to be. By necessity,
right.
Therein lies the catalyst and the legal reason that God can come and pour out judgment on the earth.
Right. And we're seeing that happen.
Yeah. By necessity, the entire world would have to if he's going to bring down this chaos on the entire earth.
Mm-hmm. Right.
Okay. So, because it's right here, it's written in a contract.
Mm-hmm.
He will curse them that curse thee.
Right.
So he knew way back then that these people were going to do that, so he wrote it in and said, now this will be my catalyst to come back and fix everything in the end.
Right. I'm with you.
All right, so that's pretty cool. And so it said, and Abram took Sarah, his wife, and Lot, his brother's son, and all their substance they had gathered, and the souls that they had gotten in Haran, and they went forth to go into the land of Canaan, to the land, into the land of Canaan they come. Now, we spoke about the River Euphrates on the previous show, right?
Yes. Yes, we did.
Mm-hmm. All right. That was part of the land of Canaan, all the way up to there. Included yeah. all of Syria, all of Iraq, all down to Saudi Arabia, all that whole area.
Yeah,
all said he's going to give that to Abram.
Mm-hmm.
So what's going on with this tiny little piece that they have right now?
Well, that's what the world gave them. You know, we're going to give you this much back of what you already own. It'd be kind of like going to the bank and you deposit $100,000 in the bank account, and they come back and they say, okay, well, you can have 5% of it. You know, something like that.
And we'll loan it to you.
Yeah, and we'll loan it to you. And by the way, we can take that back whenever we want to. Yeah, that's
in an argue that argue about it.
Right.
That's just the devil. It's just the way he worked, and we can laugh at him.
Right.
So it says, Abram passed through the land unto the place of Shechem, into the plain of Moreh, and the Canaanite was in the land, then in the land. And the Lord appeared to Abram and said, unto thy seed will I give this land. And they builded an altar to the Lord who appeared unto him. So we're talking about Abraham's seed now as well.
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
So this entire passage is clearly talking about Abraham as a nation, Abraham's seed, and what's going to happen with them.
Right.
So you can't just misconstrue it and said, oh, it only counts for Abraham, you know, whoever blesses Abraham.
Right.
No, why would he even write it in there? Abraham's long gone.
Yeah, well, I mean, he made it really clear, you know, great nation. I mean, that's pretty clear, you know.
Mm-hmm.
So, I never thought it was just Abraham. Never. You know, so I don't know if anybody else did out there, but.
I've heard that, and you're getting more of that recently with the anti-Semites and the replacement theologists. And they get pretty vocal about it, too.
The cherry pickers is what
you're talking about. Yeah, and they tend to have similar proclamations that you know, the church is not the bride because that makes her a woman, and there's no rapture, and it kind of all goes with the same thing. It's rare to find them separated. You might find someone who's got just pick and choose various pieces of candy around the.
I've run across a lot of cherry pickers, David. You know. I can't think of a single politician, left, right, or center, that hasn't cherry-picked the scripture to make it sound like that their position is correct and everybody else is wrong. I mean, you know, that happens all the time.
Oh, and ironically, it always points to their judgment.
Right.
It's like, hey, I picked this. Oh, you realize that's written about you, right? Never mind.
What does the Bible say about, your own interpretations?
So, and it said in verse 8, 12:8, he removed from thence unto a mountain east of Bethel and pitched his tent, having Bethel on the west and Hai on the east. And he built an altar to the Lord and called upon the name of the Lord. Okay, so you can look that up on a map if you want.
Yeah,
I would love to see. But we're on a radio show, so you're not going to see a map.
I would love to see a real map of Israel. I've never seen one of I've never seen the real deal. I mean, you know, I've seen this is part of it and this is part of it. I'm talking about all combined at one time. You know, I've never seen
like a whole map thing.
The whole thing, you know, and maybe you can
to the River Euphrates.
Yeah, maybe you can find me one. I'd love to see it.
Yeah, or maybe we'll make one.
Yeah, because I know that Israel, they call them occupiers now. Well, yeah, there is occupation going on in Gaza. I agree with you. There is occupation going on in Gaza. But what you don't understand is it's not the Israelis that are occupying the land. It's the so-called Palestinians. It's the so-called Arabs. It's, you know, it's the non-Jews. That's who's occupying the land. The land was given to them by God. Now, you tell me, would you rather buy the land from me or would you rather have it given to you by God? You know, I mean, it's an easy choice as far as I'm concerned.
Exactly. So he's got this whole story going on, right?
Mm-hmm.
And he pretty much tells it. But if we jump over to Genesis 17,
okay,
I'm going to see some cool stuff.
And by the way, guys, if you're watching me play with the computer, it's because all my notes are over here. So I'm watching and trying to keep up with David. Go ahead, David. Go ahead. Sorry.
All right. So when Abram was 90 years old and nine, he appeared to Abram. The Lord appeared to Abram and said to him, I am the Almighty God. Walk before me. Be thou perfect. That's pretty big.
Yeah, that's a major statement right there. Mm-hmm. That's a big statement.
And I will make my covenant between me and thee and multiply thee exceedingly. And Abraham fell on his face and God talked with him. That's very fun. I want to do that. As for me, behold, my covenant is with thee, and thou shalt be a father of many nations. Neither shall thy name be called anymore Abram, but Abraham. There so that's where we see he changes from Abram to Abraham.
Right.
And did the same thing. Exalted father. Yeah.
And did the same thing with his wife, right?
Yes.
From Sarai to Sarah.
Right. Basically, he put a hay in there, which is the breath of God.
Okay.
So Abraham and Abraham. So he breathed the breath of God and said, now you're going to be the father of many nations.
Gotcha. Okay.
And the same thing with Sarai to Sarah. Okay. The same idea, put the breath of God in it. Now, he did this on purpose. He wanted to see, number one, this dude going to follow me all over the place until he's old.
Yeah.
Okay. And then, you know, when it comes to a point where it's impossible for them to have kids anymore, that's when God comes in.
Surprise.
Yeah. And there's a reason for that. Because what if he just had kids normally?
Then there wouldn't be any big deal.
A special chosen nation? No.
Yeah, it wouldn't be any big deal. But, you know, you go past the childbearing years. Think about it for a minute if you're out there. And I'm not talking about science coming into it and forcing something to happen. I'm talking about natural. And a woman gets pregnant at like 90 years old or something. You know, you really think that's going to happen today? Really? You better think again. Okay. Sorry, David.
Probably not. All right. But this proves it. Now, every last Israeli who's born can say, I was born from a miracle of God.
Amen.
Imagine that.
That is.
Every last one of them say, I'm here because of a miracle of God.
Amen.
And it's the truth. Yeah. Every last one. And that can't be said of Ishmael. Why?
Okay. Yeah, why?
Why? Because Ishmael was born of Hagar.
Oh, that's right.
The servant girl. Of a miracle promise of Sarah.
I forgot all about that until you said it. And then as soon as you said it, it was like, yeah, right, duh. Okay, I know that.
So Ishmael, it shows, this is what happens when we try and do things our own way.
Yeah.
Okay.
Because wasn't that, correct me if I'm wrong, but wasn't that basically Sarah's idea to do that?
Yeah, which is kind of dumb.
Yeah.
But
and then she
that's what happened.
Yeah, she hated it.
Oh, God, yeah. Go have an affair with my servant. But that's not for nothing, you know, give her a hard time, but that's actually, that was normal back then.
Yeah.
If a woman couldn't have a baby, she would have her servants have one and then basically adopt that baby.
Yeah. Okay. Yeah.
But what had happened is Hagar, right? Yeah. She started to taunt Sarah. And so, and then you're like, well, who's this Hagar? You know, who is this girl? She came over and then she started to taunt, and that's when she really didn't like it anymore.
Right.
You know, I do all this good stuff, and now she's in my face.
Yeah.
And and now there they are. They're in Walmart. They're brawling, and the cops got to come. And it's horrible.
I'm sure in Sarah's mind, that's the only way that this was going to happen, you know. And I'm not trying to excuse her, you know, but I'm putting a human nature into the equation, I guess.
And it that's really true, because the whole reason she named the baby Isaac, well, she was told to, because she laughed. And Isaac means laughter.
Oh, okay. Okay.
So that's what it was. But
that's another
also,
point I didn't know. Okay.
Yeah, she left. So actually, we read down, God said to Abraham, let me see, the uncircumcised, 8 days old, Abraham sent to his wife, called the name of Sarah, and she, child be born. Okay, yeah. Okay. And Sarah shall bear a son, or Ishmael. Okay. So we're in verse, we're in 17, 19, and God said, Sarah, thy wife shall bear thee a son indeed, and thou shalt call his name Isaac.
Oh, well,
I will establish my covenant with him for an everlasting covenant and with seed after. And as for Ishmael, I've heard thee. Behold, I have blessed him, and I will make him fruitful and multiply exceedingly. Then as sure as a lot of them, aren't there?
Yeah.
12 princes shall he beget, and I will make him a great nation. So that's why we see all the different types of Arabs.
Yeah, that now you just hit on my question there. That's where all of these different Arabian tribes, I guess, for lack of
correct.
A better term, come from. Is from that that line of Ishmael.
Mm-hmm.
Okay, I'm with you.
Yep.
Okay.
So in verse in 17:17, it says Abraham fell on his face and laughed and said, his heart, shall a child be born unto him as 100 years old? Shall Sarah, who is 90 years old, bear? And Abraham said to God, oh, that Ishmael might live before thee. So it's because they both laughed.
Right. Yeah. Well, I mean, I probably would have laughed too. And I'm not going to.
Hey, that's
gonna
a
say
good
I
one.
Was, yeah, I'm not going to say I was. I'd be any different. But of course, now they had a little bit better relationship, I'm going to think. From the
yep.
jump street, right? Oh, okay.
Yeah, and we see a lot of similarities here. Like Abram's like, oh, no, I got my son. And even with Jacob and Esau, you know,
yeah.
Isaac did that kind of same thing. He liked Esau better.
Yeah.
And it was his mom that liked Jacob better, and that's why the blessing went down there. So, and you kind of see some parallels all through here.
Mm-hmm.
It's like man thinks what we do is better, even though it's like right in front of our face.
Well, I used to think that Esau got screwed, you know, until, you know.
Well, he screwed himself.
That's what I was about to say. Until I actually started to read it and put it all together in that, you know, he said, you know, yeah, go ahead, give me some stew. You can have my birthright. That was stupid.
Yeah.
That was really stupid, but that was a decision he made, right?
If I die, what good is my birthright?
Yeah. Like he was going to die because he missed a meal. Okay.
Yeah. All right. Well, we got to go get some stew now, and
yes,
then we'll
we
take a break for a couple minutes. So we'll go get some stew and then put hair on our arms and pretend we're Esau, and then we'll come back. In the meantime, if you haven't received Christ, better hurry up before the second half. We're going to get into some really cool stuff. I just want to lay a foundation. We'll see you guys in a minute. Bye.
Are you ready to deepen your walk with Jesus? Join Norman Smith on Run with Horses, the weekly radio show dedicated to helping you follow Jesus well. In Jeremiah 12:5, God challenges us to pick up the pace and prepare to run with horses. Jesus calls us to take up our cross and follow him. The journey is tough, but always worth it. Tune in every Saturday evening at 7:30 p.m. Eastern, 6:30 p.m. Central on revelationradio.net for an all-new edition of Run with Horses. Explore topics like biblical discipleship, healthy marriage, and building a godly family. Don't miss Run with Horses. Every Saturday evening at 7:30 p.m. Eastern, 6:30 p.m. Central, right here on KRRB, revelationradio.net. For more information or to listen to past broadcasts, be sure to visit runwithhorses.net.
Break free from fear, pain, and spiritual confusion. Step into total freedom with Rena Lynn, author, speaker, and host of the bold new radio show airing Tuesdays at 7 p.m. Central on revelationradio.net. Rena Lynn brings you real talk on real issues, narcissistic abuse, spiritual warfare, and the emotional battles we all face. With biblical insight and raw honesty, she helps you confront darkness and step into healing. Explore her gripping preparation for the End book series, including the latest release, Intriguing Truth, a powerful journey of faith, trauma, and redemption. dive into her books, sign up for the newsletter, and discover upcoming challenges designed to help you walk the walk, take spiritual authority, and find your ministry. Join the movement. Find your voice. Experience total freedom with Rena Lynn, Tuesdays at 7 p.m. Central on revelationradio.net.
KRRB Grand Saline, Canton, Mineola, Texas.
Are you looking for a meaningful way to support Christian values in a world that's turning further from truth? The Last Christian Radio Show is 100% listener supported. Every broadcast, every platform, every message, we rely on you to keep the mission going. You can donate directly at lastchristian.net. Every gift matters, no matter the size. Or, here's the best part. You can help just by purchasing the everyday products you already use from our trusted partners. The Conservative Store, Everyday Dose Coffee, Prima Ancestral Protein Bars, and Christian Book, each offering quality products you'll love. And every purchase through our links helps fuel this ministry. Visit lastchristian.net today to stand with us, pray with us, and support the mission.
Hello, everybody. We are back talking about Abraham. I think we went over the basics in the first half.
Yeah, we did.
Most people would normally know about Abraham if they're in church for any length of time.
Right.
Okay. But there's some cool stuff that we don't know. Most of it is like before, pre-Genesis chapter 12, I guess, if you would say. Like, okay. What's all this stuff? All we got is... Here's Abram. Terah had Abram, and then the next thing you know, he's being called out of his country.
Yeah, and went. I mean, you know, that's a big. You know, that's it. This isn't a thing where you get to pack the car and go somewhere. I mean, this is a major move.
Yeah, he picked up all this stuff. Yeah, got the U-Haul.
Man, yeah. I mean, that's no small task. You know, that's a big ask. And not a small task. That's the way I'm going to put it.
Well, we're going to see why. We're going to read some other history, and we're going to figure out why. But I just wanted to point out one cool thing that I have never heard anybody teach on, but it's plain as day.
Okay.
They usually teach on both halves of this, but never like combining the two and coming up with, hey, that's what that means.
Okay.
Now... You know Cheddar Loamer, right?
Who?
Of course you do. Genesis chapter 14.
Okay.
All right, so it came to pass in the days of Amraphel, king of Shinar. Now, we all know where Shinar is. That's Babel, right?
Okay. I'll take
it. All right, so here's one of the later kings. And then Arioch, king of Elasar. And Chedorlaomer, king of Elam, and Tidal, king of nations, that these made war with Bera, king of Sodom. We know about Sodom.
Yeah, we know about Sodom.
And with Bersha, king of Gomorrah. So Sodom and Gomorrah.
Uh-huh.
And then Shinab, king of Adma, and Shemeber, king of Zeboim, and the king of Bela, which is Zoar.
Okay, now which one of these kings, and I know you're going to get there, but which one of these kings wanted Sarah?
That's in a different part of the story.
Okay, all right. I'm
rushing. That was the Pharaoh, and then and one of the other ones. Yeah.
Okay, all right. Go ahead.
It's not in this story.
Okay.
This is where he rescues Lot. Now, we all know about how he rescued Lot.
Okay.
So here, all these kings are fighting each other. It's this giant battle with all these five different kings, right? Mm-hmm. And they were all joined together in the valley of Siddim, which is the Salt Sea. Now, 12 years they served Chedorlaomer. In the 13th year, they rebelled. So we got problems.
Okay.
In the 14th year came Chedorlaomer and the kings that were with him and smote the Rephaims. So we see the bad guys fighting the bad guys. And they were fighting in Ashtaroth, Karnam, and the Zuzims, and Ham, and the Emims, and Shabbat Kiriathayim.
Thank goodness you had to say it. Yeah. So glad you had to say that.
And the Horites. That one's easier to say. The Horites. That's where all the whores are. in Mount Seir in El Paran, which is by the wilderness, and returned and came to En Mishpat, which is Kadesh, and smote all the country of the Malachites and the Amorites and those who dwelled in Hazazon Tamar. Now, obviously, everybody knows where all that is, so we're just going to pass over that.
Okay. If you say so, okay.
It's important, but not for right now.
Not that important. Okay. All right. I got you. Okay.
There's a reason for every last one of these names and what they did, but that's weird.
Yeah, but we're moving on.
But here's right where now. It gets fun.
All right. Go ahead.
All right. So let's jump down a little bit. There went out the king of Sodom, the king of Gomorrah, and the king of Admah, and all these other kings, and joined battle in the valley where Chedorlaomer and the king of Elam and the title kings and all the others, four kings with five, and it was full of slime pits. So they're fighting in the slime pits, and these kings of Sodom and Gomorrah fled, and they took all the goods of Sodom and Gomorrah and all the victuals and went their way. So here, these nations took all the stuff from Sodom and Gomorrah.
Okay?
And they took Lot. Remember, Lot was in
Sodom. They kidnapped him. I remember that. Yeah, okay.
All right. So here's the story. All right? But that's the backstory. All these kings are fighting. They wind up in the slime pits. They can't get out, and they take all this stuff, including Lot.
Yeah.
So Abram, he says, I got to go get Lot back. So he took 318 of his own servants. Now, think of that. You talked about them moving, and it was no big thing. I mean, it was a really big thing to actually move from where they were.
Right.
Just the fighting men that he had, just the fighting men was 318 that were trained.
Yeah, so you can double that and then probably add, well, maybe double it again, maybe even triple.
Well, that's just the fighting men. Right. There's got to be hundreds and hundreds and hundreds. It's got to be over 1,000 people that are kind of with him on his farm.
Right.
Yeah. So they took Sodom, and they took him, and there came one that escaped and told Abram the Hebrew, for he dwelt in the plain of Mamre of Amorite, the brother of Eshcol, the brother of Aner, and these were confederate with Abram. So basically, one of them escaped from Sodom and being captured. They told Abram's buddies, and then Abram's like, now he's ticked, okay? Abram heard that his brother was taken captive and armed his trained servants born in his house, 318, pursued them unto Dan. Okay. Now there's a Dan. He divided himself against them, he and his servants, by night, and he smote them and pursued them to Hobah, which is on the left hand of Damascus. And he took back all the goods. So here we go. Adam fights, he gets back all the goods. Now he's going there to get a lot, but consequently, he took all the stuff back from Sodom and Gomorrah.
Okay.
So he's got all his stuff. So the king of Sodom, he's like, oh, I love this guy. Thanks for getting my stuff. So in verse 17, it says the king of Sodom went out to meet him after his return from the slaughter of Chedorlaomer and the kings that were with him in the valley of Shavah, which is a king's dale. And here, check this out. We've heard that about Sodom went out to meet him, and we've heard this. And Melchizedek, king of Salem, brought forth bread and wine.
Okay.
And he was the priest of the Most High God. Now, what do we know about bread and wine?
Well, I mean, I jumped straight to the Last Supper, but, you know, that's just me.
And what is the Last Supper?
Where Christ says, take of my body and take of my blood. That's, you know.
So let's get into that. That's really good.
Yeah, to... you're basically pledging your allegiance to Jesus, and I don't know. I'm kind of drawing a blank here as exactly how to phrase it.
I'm squeezing it out of you.
Yeah, you are.
It's a contract.
There you go.
All right.
Okay, I forgot that.
Because remember, the Last Supper was a contract.
Right. Okay.
Well, where do we get that thought? Melchizedek. And, you know, Jesus is a priest after the order of Melchizedek. And here, we also see the bread and the wine.
Right. Okay. Okay.
So what's that all about? Okay. When you bring bread and wine, they didn't have paper contracts back then where we write it. The whole idea was we're making a covenant together.
Okay.
And because we don't see that today, we don't see the Lord's Supper as a covenant.
No.
Because we don't understand what it was. But back then, when you ate together, and people think, oh, that, you know, transubstantiation, this really turns into the body of Christ. Mm. No, it does not.
No, it does not.
That's where the term hocus pocus came from, by the way.
Mm, it's, okay.
It's a twisting of the Latin, opus corpus or something like that.
Okay.
So they say, oh, it's that hocus pocus stuff where it turns into Jesus' body.
Mm.
But that's where we get that term. When you ate the same food, when you eat bread or anything, it becomes part of your body, does it not?
Right. Okay. Yes.
Okay. Mm-hmm. So here's the thing. Now we're taking the same bread and I'm eating it and you're eating it.
Yeah.
Because that's Jesus, what he meant.
Yeah. Because Jesus broke the bread himself, right? Mm-hmm. When to feed the disciples. Yeah. Okay. I'm following you. Go ahead.
So that's what they meant by, you know, this is my body. In other words, I'm eating this, and it becomes part of my body. Now you eat it, and it becomes part of your body.
Okay.
And that's how contracts were made, and that's why it's, you know, very important who you invite to eat over.
Mm.
Well, see, now, breaking the bread together.
I never took it that way. I always thought that they were simply better people than we are. And whenever you have a contract, you know, like out here, for instance, out here in the country, it's still kind of like it was in the 1800s, I guess. If you're going to make a deal with somebody, you shake their hand and it's over. You know, you don't need it. You don't need it put in writing or anything. It's a done deal. But if you live in the Dallas-Fort Worth area, you better get it in writing or you're going to get screwed. You know, I mean, that's really the way. So, you know, I always looked at it as, you know, they were just better people back then. If they put their word out there that that's the way it was, but you're telling me that's different. Go ahead.
Yeah. In New York State, it has to be in writing. Even if you record it on video, it's not good. It has to be in writing.
Okay.
And Marcus Lemonis found that out with actually someone I know over here. He made a deal with him and shook his hand, and then the guy ripped him off, and they went to the court, and they're like, nah. Where's the contract?
Yeah,
said, too bad. He says, we recorded the whole TV show. Mm-hmm. He's like, nope, doesn't count.
Sad.
Yeah, it's sad. But back then, and they knew if you're having bread and wine together, it was to enforce a covenant.
Okay.
Because when you ate together, now your bodies become one because you're eating the same stuff.
Gotcha.
And the wine is the blood of the grape. And that would symbolize that if you break this covenant, then that means I will shed my blood.
Okay.
I will die.
Oh, yeah. Okay.
That was, break this covenant.
They're getting serious right there, huh?
Yeah. And so when you sat down to make a covenant with someone, now Melchizedek of Salem, so that's the king of righteousness, Melchizedek is the king of righteousness.
Mm-hmm.
And the king of Salem, which is peace, or Jerusalem.
Okay. Jerusalem.
So he is the king of Salem. So he's the king of peace, the king of righteousness, of peace, brought forth the bread and the wine. So now he's there with Abram offering a contract.
Okay.
Of peace. Okay. And that's what we see. Oh, Melchizedek came and they had bread and wine. No one realizes that's literally a contract term. Yeah. Now, what happened next?
Yeah, I missed that.
And since they missed that, they missed the second half of this. And he blessed him and said, blessed be Abram, the Most High God, possessor of heaven and earth. So God owns of heaven and earth. He's saying, bless Abram, right? And blessed be the Most High God, which has delivered thine enemies into thy hand. And he gave him tithes of all. So here's Melchizedek, the king of righteousness, or Jesus himself, if you would.
Okay.
Said, here is a covenant of bread and wine. Same thing he did at the Last Supper. And then all of a sudden we see the king of Sodom said to Abram in verse 21, give me the persons and take the goods to thyself. So now Sodom is saying, you can have all this stuff.
Mm-hmm.
Okay, so here he is, basically the king of this pagan nation, okay, is saying, I'm going to give you all this stuff, just give me the people back, okay?
Okay.
So he's making him an offer as well.
Okay.
Contract. So that's what most people do not see, is that right here, Abram was offered two different contracts.
Gotcha. Okay.
Do you want the contract of the king of righteousness,
mm-hmm,
or do you want a contract of all this stuff in the world?
Yeah.
Look, you can have my entire kingdom full of stuff.
Oh, man, there's a reminder right there of Jesus after he spent 40 days and, mm-hmm, and Satan says, you know, hey, you know, why don't you just jump down or whatever, you know, do, mm-hmm, this, do that. I mean, it's pretty much a repeat, really, right? I mean,
yeah, it's the same story.
Yeah, that's cool. Okay.
But this is the part we hear all the time. Abram said to the king of Sodom, I have lifted up my hand unto the Lord, the Most High God, possessor of the heaven and earth, and I will not take a thread, even to a shoe latchet, that I will not take anything that is thine, lest you should say, I have made Abram rich.
There you go. Okay. Mm-hmm. Okay.
Most people don't correlate that the two.
No,
he's,
I didn't,
offered a contract, mm-hmm, on either half.
Yeah, I got it. I got it now.
King of righteousness.
Mm-hmm.
And then he actually gave him tithes.
Mm-hmm.
And he brought this contract of righteousness with him in peace. But he also had, hey, I'll give you the whole world.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, that's it just reminds me of the same thing happening in with Jesus much later, mm-hmm, on. But I'm going to back up here for a second, David, because, mm-hmm, I know there is a place in the Bible that there is a situation like this, but I don't think this is it, but maybe it's basically the same, who knows. And that is that he said he took how many people with him, soldiers, 300 and something?
Yeah, 318 soldiers.
Okay, so how many people came and stole the stuff that they were going to go fight? Because, you know, there's a story later in the Bible where, you know, he has a big army, and I'm not saying, you know, I'm not saying that it was him, but, you know, there was, mm-hmm, a character that had a lot more people than that. Leave them behind. No, you know, leave that group behind too, and we're going to take this small little force.
Oh yeah, that's Gideon's 300. Yep.
Yeah. So, you know,
they started with something like 10,000 men. Lined up.
Yeah.
Like ice, you know.
Yeah. So, you know, I'm wondering.
All fine enough.
I'm wondering, is it the same thing here, or is there any indication of that anywhere, either in scripture or in any reference?
That's a different story.
Okay.
And it speaks to, you know, the gate is narrow.
Yeah.
It gets to heaven.
Yeah. Okay.
It's going to be very narrow. It's wide is the gate that leads to destruction.
Right.
And you'd be surprised at how many people in the church today are not Christians.
That's the reason I keep saying that, you know, there will be church services the Sunday after the rapture of the church. I promise you, it will happen.
But there's a handful of people missing.
Right. One or two, anyway. Mm-hmm. Okay. All right. Well, I wanted to mention that just in case, because I'm sure I'm not the only person that thought maybe it's the same story. Okay.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
All right.
Mm-hmm.
Go ahead.
So there's a whole bunch of stuff in the Bible, mm-hmm, that, you know, the whole timeline basically is genealogy, is timeline, covenants and promises, character, mm-hmm, and faith, appearances. But we're going to take several weeks in here to get there. Today, I wanted to just point out a couple things, and I think we might be able to get to a couple of the seven secrets you didn't know about Abraham.
Okay, all right. That's, yeah,
all right.
Okay.
It was hit. Now, we all know about the Tower of Babel.
Mm-hmm. Yep.
So Abraham is said to be born in the first week of the seventh year of the second Jubilee, okay, mm-hmm, after the Tower of Babel dispersion.
After, okay, all right, gotcha. Yeah. Okay,
so here it is. He tells them, hey, you guys split up, and they don't. And he's like, okay, I gotta bust up your languages. He gets out and he's like, okay, now we see Mount Hermon, we see the dividing of the nations, we, mm-hmm, see the principalities and powers. But Jesus says, this is my portion. Almighty God said, my portion is the people of Israel,
mm-hmm,
and then subsequently, you know, those who inherit the blessings of Abraham through Christ, because, mm-hmm, Christ is his seed. So it's us. So his portion is his people.
Right.
But that's what we start to see here. Now he said, okay, here's a Babylonian dispersion. Now I'm going to start to separate my people. That's why we see him. And it's in Jubilees 11.
Okay.
And we'll look at 14. 11. Oh, who moved it? Oh, here it is. Okay. 11.
And just for people that are listening out there, no, we realize that the Jubilees are not a part of the Holy Bible. But, you know, if you read your history book, let's say, in whatever grade you are, you're going to have additional material come in later as you dig deeper. So we take it as a reference point and take the references, and because it illuminates what the Bible is saying. As David said it a million times, you know, the Bible's like a cliff notes, but it's the essential part. Now we're adding more to it now. So go ahead.
Mm-hmm, mm-hmm, mm-hmm.
I hope I said that close to right.
Yeah, it was good.
Okay.
All right. So let's go to Jubilees 11. We'll start at 15. In the seventh year of this week, there's some suspect about the timing in Jubilees because mm-hmm. they used letters instead of numbers. So some of the timing might be off. But let's just 1876 a.m. on Omunde. She bare him a son and called his name Abram, the father by the name of the father of his mother. All right, so check this out. Mm-hmm. Well, actually, let's back up.
Okay.
In the 39th Jubilee, in the second week of the first year, Terah, which is Abram's dad, took himself a wife, and her name was Edna, the daughter of Abram, the daughter of his father's sister. Okay? Mm-hmm. So Terah took a cousin as well.
Okay.
And Edna's father was named Abram.
Mm-hmm, mm-hmm.
So Terah named his son Abram after his father-in-law.
Okay.
In the seventh year, he called his name son, the name of his father of his mother. And he died before the daughter conceived a son. The child. Mm. So that's why he named him that. He named him Abram because, hey, Abram died, so let's name this kid Abram.
Gotcha.
The child began to understand the errors of the earth and that all that went astray after graven images and after uncleanness. And his father taught him writing as he was 2 weeks of years old. So at like 14.
Okay.
And he separated himself from his father. So he taught him writing at 14 years old. Okay.
Which was big.
He separated himself that he might not worship idols with him.
Mm.
So okay. Terah worshipped idols, and Abram took off. He says, I'm out.
Okay.
At 14, apparently, 2 weeks mm-hmm. of years old.
Yeah.
And he began to pray to the creator of all things, because remember, they just worshipped everybody, and he's like, well, who's the real one?
Yeah.
That he might save himself from the errors of the children of men, and that his portion should not fall into error after uncleanness and vileness. Mm. So he was looking to get out. Even as a teenager.
Yeah, yeah.
And the seed time came mm-hmm. from the sowing of the seed of the land. They all went forth together to protect the seed against the ravens. And Abram went forth with those that went. And the child was a lad of 14 years. Then he talks about this, the ravens that came down and he caused them to turn back 70 times.
Mm, okay.
Now, anybody know birds in the... Bible symbolize demon spirits.
Oh, okay. I didn't know that.
Okay, like the birds will make a nest and all that stuff.
Okay.
Yeah, they're just symbolic of that.
Okay.
So this is symbolic of Abraham knew that he had to turn back these demon spirits. It's kind of pointing that's what the story mm-hmm. leads to. Although they were ravens, but he turned back the ravens 70 times throughout all the land where Abram had settled, and there was not one. So he figured out how to do that at 14 years old. And they were all with him throughout the land, saw him cry out, and all the ravens turned back. And his name became great in all the land of the Chaldees.
And it came
to him all those who wished to sow, and then the sowing ceased. So we see at 14, he started to go away from his father.
And it sounds like he was building, I mean, if I understood you right, he was building a heck of a reputation too, which explains why he's got followers or whatever, guess, right?
Yep.
Okay. All right. I'm with you.
Okay. So that's that. And then we back up even more, and we don't have really time to get into it. So I just want to kind of
mention it.
Touch on these things so we can really get into them next week.
Okay.
Let me just tell the story instead of reading it.
Go ahead.
Nimrod was there. It was Ur, I think they called him at the time, but he was Nimrod. So Nimrod has these seers, right? And they watch the stars for signs because they know the Maseroth just as well as anyone else. That's why they built the Tower of Babel. Mm-hmm. And the stars said there was some kind of a Messiah figure coming. Okay. And they told Nimrod, and we're seeing the whole Antichrist thing here. And Nimrod says, well, we can't have that because I'm the king. But he, you know, Nimrod was, he made himself great, but the readings of, you know, the watchers. So he became a Gibberim, and he's like, no, I'm taking over. So he set out to kill Abraham. Or Abram. He's like, okay, it must be Terah's kid. So he tells Kara, bring your kid. All right. And that's, there he is in the back. Oh,
I see him. Yeah, I got
him. That's him. That's Terah bringing the baby to Nimrod.
Okay.
The problem is Terah heard the story and he's like, oh, you, Nimrod wants to kill the kid because he saw the sign that said he was going to be the savior. And he was, basically of the Most High God. Remember, he's God said, this is my portion, my people, and this is where he's going to start it. So the baby that's in Terah's hand is actually a baby of one of the servants that he had.
There you go. Yeah, he didn't actually bring the real deal. Yeah, okay.
So he didn't bring him, and then because of that, he had to hide Abram. So he sent Abram away to live in a cave, and that's why we don't see him again until like he's 13.
Yeah. You know, there's a lot of, and I don't want to say repeat, but it's sort of repeat, right? Because
it's a pattern. You know, prophecy pattern.
Pattern. That's a much better word. You know, I see Moses in this stuff. I see Jesus himself in this stuff. I mean, it's, you know, it is a pattern, but it's a consistent pattern is the way I look at it.
So we're going to see, I mean, we're down to a minute and a half, so I'll just give you a synopsis and then we'll dig into the verses next time. But we're going to see that he was hidden away and for a number of years. And then when he comes back, we saw just now that as he saw that his father was an idol worshiper. And he, that's what he did. He made idols. Okay. So what happens? Believe it or not, he goes to live with Noah. So he goes, up and basically Noah's on a mountain still. And he's living with Noah and Shem until he's like 52, I think. So that's really cool. And Noah taught him all the righteousness and everything. And that's when he came down. He says, okay, now you've learned all that. That's when I got to call you out. And that's where we wind up in Genesis 12.
Yeah.
You know, but we don't have that whole story.
Right.
You don't have the whole backstory of what he did. By the way, they tried to kill him. They saw the stars and then they threw him in a cave. And then he lived with Noah for all these years. You're expected to know that. And then it's okay. Let me follow up. Okay, what does Abram mean? And that's what we see in the Bible, going forth. But if he writes everything down in one book, it'd be too huge.
Too big.
He'd say, okay, here's the basics. You're supposed to know the rest of it. And we are going to know the rest of it next week, Lord willing, if we're still here. If you have not received Jesus yet, we encourage you to do so. And the bread and the wine was the covenant that says that he's going to pay for your sins. So, Lord willing, we'll see you guys next time. Have a blessed day.
You've been listening to The Last Christian Radio Show, where biblical truth meets headline reality and prophecy is never fiction. We're on the air every Tuesday, Thursday, and Saturday night at 8:30 Eastern, 7:30 Central, boldly proclaiming the gospel and warning a world on the brink. But we can't do it alone. Your support makes the mission possible to speak the truth, reach the lost, and prepare the world for the return of Jesus Christ. Visit lastchristian.net and help us continue broadcasting the unfiltered, uncensored truth to the nations. Whether it's a one-time gift or by shopping through our trusted partners, every action you take fuels the message. So stay informed, stay bold, and above all, stay ready, because the trumpet could sound at any moment. Until next time, good night and God bless.